Brothers and sisters, hear these words of assurance from the first letter to John. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Hear the joy and comfort in knowing that in God we have peace. Amen. And children of God, hear the law as Christ spoke it, that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our next scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 41. Found on Pew Bible page 1580. Hear the word of the Lord. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said it to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with them Peter and James and John and began to be distressed. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going just a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Our next scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 26, 47 through 52. Hear the word of our Lord. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on him and arrested him.
Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put away your sword. Put it back into its place, for all who take up the sword will perish by it." Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Gracious God, on this night of reflecting and reflection, we ask that you will be with us. Be with us tonight and tomorrow as we experience the heaviness of what tonight means, what tomorrow has meant for us through the ages. Be with us as we remember. Guide the meditations of our minds and our hearts tonight. And may your word light our path through these dark days. In your name we pray. Amen. Here we are on a very warm night. It's a little toasty, isn't it? With high winds. Honestly, this is kind of weather that I imagine would have happened in this moment. Maybe it's just me thinking that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, something underneath things would have been stirring. A heaviness would have been in the air. And as we break the bread and share the cup, as we gather here together, there's a heaviness about tonight. For the life of me, I can't nail down the exact moment when the heaviness of Maundy Thursday really hit. Maybe it was when George Boerichter one Maundy Thursday strode up to the lectern at the church, all 6'7", 300 pounds of George Boerichter, booming out, "The shadow of the cross." And chills went through your spine. Might have been just George doing that. But growing up in my family, tonight meant getting together with our church family. You'd get ready from school, you'd get all your homework done, and then you'd get to Fellowship Hall, real original name, I know, and you'd celebrate a Seder dinner together, like Jesus and the disciples did, celebrating the Passover together. And then after the meal, after the Seder celebration, we'd go upstairs to the sanctuary, and then we would worship. Communion that night would be amazing, but it always seemed like the moment was overshadowed by following George Brown around the hall, looking for the matzah hidden in a napkin that he was going to slip to somebody. You want a chocolate Easter bunny if you found it. But at some point along my young years, something happened where chocolate Easter bunnies and matzah didn't matter. What mattered was standing together in the front of the sanctuary, sharing communion as one congregation. We would stand there and pass the cup and the bread to those next to us, all in a circle. All of a sudden, it felt like you were carrying a desk with four other people and everybody had let go. Today and tomorrow are heavy days. Saturday is even heavier. They're heavy days because there's a tension in them. The tension of the final supper with Jesus and the disciples, where the betrayer faces down Jesus and says, "Was it me, Jesus?" And Jesus very unsarcastically says, "Yeah." There's this moment in heaviness as he goes to the cross tomorrow. As he goes there and his lack of sin allows him to take on ours. And then Saturday, there's the heaviness of waiting, wondering, as we wait for that. There's a joy in today as Christ celebrates with his disciples. There's a relief almost tomorrow as our sins are on the cross with him, the weight of our sins. But there's a sadness as well in those moments, because it is our sins, not his, that are on that cross. The very Son of God for us goes to the cross. There's a tightrope being walked today and tomorrow between guilt and sadness, relief and joy. And it's a hard thing to navigate for us. You haven't even seen me try and walk a tightrope. What do we do with today and tomorrow? Do we celebrate? Do we call them solemn? The answer is yes to both. How can two things, though, be so polar opposite and yet be in the same moment? How can both be both true and not true in equal parts? It's not that dissimilar to having a holiday come and mourning, grieving the loss of a loved one at the same time. You have that push and pull of joy and celebration with the holiday, but the grief, the pain of that loved one not being there. But as we walk the tightrope these next days, let us engage in these moments. Engage in the moments where we understand our human frailty, our human fragility that caused us to sin, that caused our Lord to go where we could not, to do that which we could not do. And let us also, at the same time we grieve, also celebrate. Celebrate what our God did, how much our God loved us. Allow this moment to push you and pull you in equal parts. Allow it to help you participate with God in this moment as you feel gratitude, as you let God's love wash over you. And in that moment, understand that today is a day of both grief and celebration, joy and sadness. Let us participate over these next few days. Take the time and participate with God as we remember with him what he has done and how much he has loved us. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our next scripture lesson comes from Luke's gospel. Luke 20, verses 54 through 62. Hear God's word. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You are also one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then, about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Brothers and sisters, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper by a modified form of intinction. We've got separate cups.